Well, as Jono's getting the last of those out, let's have a word of prayer, a word of thanks. Oh, it's great to praise God. Isn't it lovely to come and praise his name together? What a joy. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that there is in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we've all been through our trials and troubles, some here more than others. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Oh, we praise you for that, Father. And we pray, Lord, that now as we meditate on your word, that you would assure us of your love to us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When Ed was in high school, his little sister was just starting in primary. She thought Ed was wonderful. He could do everything that she couldn't do. And so she would follow him around, and she would keep pestering him for one thing and another. One day Ed came home to find his little sister crying. In fact, she was pouring out her heart, and the story came out very similar to many stories. She was being bullied at school, and a kid in an older grade was bullying her. And Ed said something to her, something stirred in his heart, and he said to her, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." Well, at that, his little sister stopped worrying, the tears dried up, and she went out and played. Later, Ed admitted he didn't know what he was going to do, but that was enough from Big Brother when he said, "I will take care of it." She knew that he would. Well, we need a trust in Jesus Christ that puts our hearts at rest and puts our hearts at peace. Enough rest in him that the tears stop and we can go on with life in full trust and confidence in him. We need the peace that having confidence in him brings. Now we know that the Bible says that our Lord loves us. And we've just heard the boys singing about that. But when the trials come, when the difficulties come, the love of God for us is sometimes the first thing that we doubt. How do we develop the confidence in Christ that that little girl had in her big brother Ed? That we are absolutely sure that he will do right by us no matter what is happening in life. Well, we need to revisit his love for a little bit, savour it, and be assured of it in our hearts. Tonight I'd like to suggest three reasons why you can know that God loves you always. The first reason we ought to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us always is he made us and he keeps us. You're here tonight, aren't you? He has kept you until this point. David expressed his awe in God's making of him in Psalm 139. He put it this way. "For you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them." And David expressed his love in God's creation and God's care for him in that way. Of course, David loved God, but the same God who created David also created and keeps people who do not express their love for him. Paul explained at Athens to a people who had not yet begun to love God. He said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives all life, breath, and all things." God is giving and giving and giving, even though people don't love him. He gives breath and life and all things. "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped in art by man's devising." You, whether you love God here tonight or not, are God's special workmanship. You, every one of us, is fearfully and wonderfully made, intended by God to be made in that way, fashioned, to be unique, His own special handiwork. Each one of us is a snowflake, precious to God. Moreover, He has kept you all these years. He has sent the sun to shine on you, and He has sent the rain to pour you, the sun and the rain, speaking of all the good things that we need. And He has continued to give those for us. He has given us everything that we need in the fabric of life and to care for us. He continues to be gracious for you beyond measure. Now, I brought something with me tonight. It's not very valuable. It's this old bookend. And here it is. Not worth very much. You'd probably find it on a rubbish dump or in a garbage bin or on one of those council cleanups. But it's worth something to me because, you see, I've kept this for about 45 years. Why? Because when I was about 13 or 14 years old, I made this in metalwork. So it's worth something to me. Everybody else might have thrown it out, but it has value to me. Can you see that because God made you, you are valuable to God? And that He loves you. He made you, and He loves you. He keeps you. He has kept you until this day because He loves you. You are here tonight because He has drawn you to Himself. God has drawn you in love to those who are His people. God says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 1, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Have you seen the majesty of this one who loves you? Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, "He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm." Can you see the love in that? "He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those with those who are with young." And of this one it says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as a small thing on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing." Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to live in. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and by the strength of His power. Not one is missing. This awesome God is the one who loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ made you and He loves you. The Lord Jesus who made you keeps you and continues to love you. Please don't doubt it. In those dark and in those difficult places, don't doubt the love of the Lord Jesus for you. The second reason we all ought to know that the Lord Jesus loves us always is He came for us and He died for us. Don't lose the impact of John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have an everlasting life." And Jesus too so loved you that He gave His life, that if you would believe on Him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 makes Jesus the epitome of love to us. It says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us." You see, Jesus gave up everything that He had in heaven in love for us to come to earth for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich." And then Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8 goes on to give us the details of how much Jesus gave up. And we know that Jesus did not grasp onto the riches of heaven, but He came to earth and He lived as a man. But not only that, He became a servant to all of us. But not only that, He went to a cross for us. But not only that, He also died the most horrible kind of death on the cross for us. It was a painful kind of death physically, but worst of all, He was immersed in the sewage of our sin. That defines love. That describes love like no other action can, before or since. Having rescued you, how can you doubt His love for you? Jesus reminds us in John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Just coming for us was love for us, but dying on the cross is the absolute proof and evidence of his love for us. You cannot, or you have not found love until it dawns upon you, deep down in your soul, what Jesus Christ did for you individually. Forever, forever let it be settled that God loves his people. Forever let it be settled God loves you. A little girl was critically injured in an accident and she was taken to hospital. And at hospital, as they began to try and help her, they realized that she was needing blood. But her blood was of a rare type. However, it was known that her seven-year-old brother had the same blood type. So with the parents' permission, the doctor took the little boy aside and he said, "It seems like your sister mightn't make it. She badly needs blood. Would you give her your blood?" The little boy's face turned pale and his eyes widened in fear. After some agonizing moments, he whispered to the doctor, "I'll give her my blood." So the boy watched as blood drained from his arm. And the doctor noticed that he was looking a little bit nervous, so trying to encourage him, he said, "It won't be long now." And at that, the little boy burst out into tears. He said, "Will I die pretty soon then?" He thought he was giving his own life to save his sister. Good story. But Jesus' love for you is no story. There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. Jesus' love, precious love, boundless and pure and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul, Jesus pleadeth with thee. Seeing and knowing and grasping Jesus' love for us is life-changing. If we're not saved, surely seeing that love for us draws us to him. And if we are saved, it creates an atmosphere, an environment of total safety, like that little sister felt when Ed said, "I will take care of it." It also stirs our love for him. How could we not love him who loved us so? His love leads us to love him in return. It leads us to a total commitment and devotion and faithfulness to him. He becomes the center of our lives. Oh, may you know his love for you. There is joy and peace in that. The third reason that we ought to know that the Lord Jesus loves us always is he still prays for us and enables us. Every day and every hour, his love continues to stream to us. Jesus' present love for his struggling people is described this way in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." That verse says Jesus understands. He understands what we're going through. He understands our struggles. He understands our hurts. He feels with us, and therefore the Lord Jesus constantly prays for us. Hebrews 7 and verse 25 says, "Therefore he also is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus always lives to pray for his people, to pray for you. He lives to pray for us in love and then comes alongside us to help us, to enable us. So that Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Jesus himself assured us in John 15 and verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love." In love, Jesus enables us to bear fruit. He continues to love us and continues to enable us to live for him. We cannot be cut off from Christ's love, as we heard Peter and David sing a little bit earlier. We cannot be cut off from his love. His prayer for us continually guarantees that we cannot be cut off from his love. And then I want to remind you of the words in the book of Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. On April 25th, 1915, soldiers of the Anzacs landed on the Gallipoli Peninsula expecting a fairly speedy campaign. But there was great resistance from the Turks and the campaign was drawn out and both sides lost many lives. Now, when the Anzac troops were, some of them were evacuated back to Egypt, perhaps most of them, when they were back there in Egypt, just outside Cairo, they went to a YMC camp where Oswald Chambers, have you heard of Oswald Chambers? He was offering hospitality and hope to these men that were broken and disillusioned by war, to our own Anzac men. Chambers told them, speaking with compassion, no man is the same after an agony. He is either better or worse. And the agony of a man's experience is nearly always the first thing that opens his mind to understand the need of redemption, the need of forgiveness, of salvation, which is worked out by Jesus Christ. Chambers continues, at the back of the wall of the world stands God with his arms outstretched. And every man driven there is driven into the arms of God. If your back is against the wall, God is driving you into his own arms. The cross of Jesus is the supreme evidence, he said, for the love of God. God continues to love us through the very worst that can happen at life and life can throw at us. Be amazed, dear friend. Despite what we are, God continues to love us. The Lord loves us because we are his. He made us. The Lord loves us because he paid the highest price for us in all of the world, the blood of his own son. He loves us because he continues to pray for us and enable us day by day to become like the glory of he himself. One day we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. From glory to glory, he's changing me in love. Can you see today, tonight, how much he loves you? Be stunned, be awed into a complete devotion for him. In fact, our prayer for each other has to be as Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We can be filled with the fullness of God if we can just grasp the height and length and depth and width of his love for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word encourages us tonight. It encourages us to remember that even through the difficulties, you are there and you sustain us. And Lord, we pray that we would hang on to this truth. I pray, Lord, that we would never doubt your love for us. And Lord, I pray that we would be transformed by it. I pray that we'd be transformed in such a way that we go out and with joy and peace, we tell those around us, you must know this God of who loves me, and he loves you too. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.